Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The word of the Lord.
Well, this morning, as I said, typically we would be heading into Advent. But since we're not, I'm going to extend Thanksgiving one more Sunday. And recognizing we are a thankful people year-round. But in saying that, I wanted to share an adapted or a modified sermon by Presbyterian pastor Elijah Duncan with some of his points and some of my thoughts and insight kind of meshed together. But as I was thinking about sharing a sermon on worship, it's almost like talking to you about eating ice cream. You know, that's no fun. You want to eat ice cream. You don't want to talk about it. And so my prayer is that as we talk about worship, it's meaningful in the sense that God has a word for you today about how we are to worship as his people. And it will be more than just a talk about worship. So let's join our hearts together in prayer. Father, we thank you so much today that you have called us out to be a people, to do the things that you share in your songbook, your prayer book, the book of Psalms. And so we pray, Lord, that in this very simple, short, though powerful psalm, that you would speak a fresh word to each one of us today about what it means to be worshipers and to come into your presence and what that looks like. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so to begin, I would just raise the question, did you know that how we worship God matters? Oftentimes we just do it. We don't necessarily think about it. It's like a reflex, but it really matters because many Christians take the view that as long as we worship God, that's what matters. It doesn't really matter how or what's going on, but the scripture gives us a clear picture of how we are to worship in the presence of Almighty God. God cares how we worship, and this is one thing that God takes time to clarify for his own people in the scriptures. It's interesting that in our day and in our age that we give more time to our preference of worship styles rather than seeking God's guidance through scripture in this matter at times. It can be easy for me to put my preference before God's preference. In fact, even this week, tomorrow evening, some of us will come together and sit together and prayerfully reflect and come up with a way of doing Advent and Christmas that's a meaningful worship experience. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's wise to do that, especially for a time of year when we have guests to show up that maybe that's one of the only times they may be in a worship setting throughout the year. And so we want to give it all that we have to the glory of God. We'll consider that what those services should look like, what they should feel like. Though if we're not careful, we can get caught up in our own preferences. We can lose focus by attempting to offer what people like instead of what God calls us to in worship. In fact, the whole concept of offering different worship times or different worship hours, not just in our setting, but throughout the country, I believe, has been birthed from these kind of experiences. Some like hymns, some like multiple choruses of praise songs, some like more liturgical, interactive responses, some like having the call to worship, offertory prayers, and so forth. Others are simply good with lifting holy hands to praise choruses over and over and over as long as the mood is there. And I've even heard of churches that will set an offering bucket in the very back of the sanctuary so that on the way out, an offering can be dropped in without disrupting the mood at all. There are no offering plates passed, and it doesn't take away from things. All of those are just a preference to worship. In fact, if we were to survey people as to why they choose what they do choose, the foundational reason often boils down to personal preference. It's not usually about a right or wrong theological point at all. It's usually just a preference of worship style. But when I think of it that way, it seems backwards. Rather than meeting my needs or thinking of my preference or focusing on my desires, we need to at least continually attempt to turn the question back to God's desire. We need to ask, what is His preference in worship, where worship is concerned? And that's what we find here in this psalm today. That's where this psalm, this jubilate, it's called. It's a joyful shout. It was used in the synagogue, in the temple, in the time of worship for the children of Israel as they came together to worship God. It gave some guidelines and laid out some ways that God had called them into His presence. And I want us to think about three things that God tells His people of how we ought to worship here today as you look at this brief psalm. Number one, God cares about how we worship as we joyfully, gladly, willingly come with singing into His presence. It's not just by chance that we do those things. We are called to worship in that posture. Number two, God's personal character and deeds need to be the focus point of our worship, especially in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that always needs to be our focal point of worship. And then number three, if you notice in verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. That phrase, serve the Lord, may open up a door of many ways of worship that go beyond what we do here on Sunday morning in the sanctuary. And I'll speak to that in just a moment. But to begin with, God cares how we worship as He calls us to worship joyfully, gladly, and willingly with singing. You know, a grudging worshiper is an oxymoron, right? Can you picture that? I mean, there is no such thing. We're all going to worship something in this life. And if it's God, praise the Lord. If it's not, we need to reorient. But anytime someone is worshiping, it's never begrudgingly. Hear these two opening verses again. He begins this way. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Make a joyful noise. Serve with gladness. Come with singing. See, no matter the style that we decide to worship in, our hearts should be in a place of not being able to stay away from God's house. Amen? There should be this context within our posture of worship that draws us to this place because we know we're coming to meet with God. All three of these, make that joyful noise. Serve with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. All three of those are forms of worship, if you think about it. We don't always think that way, but making that joyful noise, serving in a healthy, holy way is a form of worship. Coming into His presence with singing definitely is a form of worship. So the one who understands God's desire for you to be this way recognizes their need for worship. It's not just that we want to. We were created to be beings that worship the one that made us. And so if there are places in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds that we would rather be than in the presence of God worshiping, then we need to consider or reconsider what worship is all about. If my love for God is not greater than anything else in my life, if it's not, then I need to find out why not and make it that way. That's the one that I'm called, or that's the posture that I'm called to be in the presence of God. And so why? Raises the question, why? Why do Christians come joyfully? Why do Christians come glad? Why do Christians come singing? Why do you come this way this morning? It's because, in a foundational sense, I would say, in a covering sense, because God has shown you grace. Because if you truly realize that before a holy and mighty and all-powerful, righteous God that you and I deserve, all that we deserve is condemnation, but rather we have been given acceptance, adoption, redemption, forgiveness, and grace beyond anything this world can offer, then all you can do, if you realize that, recognize that, is come joyful, not just joyful, but full of joy because of what God has already done on our behalf, full of gladness, full of singing. Whether you think you can sing or whether your neighbor thinks you can sing or not, you will belt something out. Amen? It's going to come out because you're going to worship. Let's try that. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And so when we truly begin to understand the change God is working in us from the inside out, we cannot help but be glad and express that in a form of worship. It's because of that fact that we are drawn to worship the one who has made us. It's not burdensome, but it's beautiful. And in fact, it's always a beautiful experience in that regard. God does not want anyone to come begrudgingly. He wants people who are ready to joyfully, gladly hear His blessing for them, receive His word for them, and be covered in His grace and worship. He desires the center of your attention. He wants those who come willingly with joy and gladness to be that way. For these, when a friend or an acquaintance comes up to you at some point, whether on the street or in the grocery store or at school or wherever you find yourself, and says, "Do you have to go to church? Do you? Do you have to go to church?" Your answer is no. Not really. But I want to. I get to. I need to. I'm called to. I'm drawn to. I'm called to worship. And so if this is not where you find yourself as we gather together in this place in the presence of God, if the joy is missing, if the gladness is gone, if the singing is not heartfelt, there's something very wrong. And I realize that sometimes life, sometimes the trials of life, sometimes the weight of things can rob us of our joy and our gladness. I get that. We get to a point of not feeling like singing. Even Job spoke of that. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That can happen. On the other hand, if I cherish a sin in my life more than the Lord, it will rob me of joy and gladness. Even believers can get caught in putting things above God in their hearts. We cannot do that and remain joyful in the presence of God. We just can't. And so we have to reevaluate at times. And then thirdly, we cannot experience that worship. The one who has never tasted, as another psalm says, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you've never done that, if you've never tasted God's grace, you cannot begin to understand this experience of what worship is like until one has received Jesus as Lord and repented of sin and asked Him to be Lord. Until that point, this experience of worship will remain foreign and on the peripheral and outside of the boundary of that person's life. But for the believer, the psalmist's words today of, "I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord," resonates here with this psalm today. When worship becomes more work than being joyfully glad with singing, something needs to be reoriented in our lives. And so we first learn today, number one, that God's desire in worship is that we come before Him willingly with first joyful and glad hearts to sing our praises to Him alone, no matter the style that you choose to worship Him in. Secondly, let me restate these statements about the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. For the Lord is good, and His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. You see, our worship is focused on God's person, His deeds, and especially the gospel. Our worship must center on His person, His deeds, and most importantly, what Jesus has done to forgive our sins in this life, in the life to come. Making a joyful noise is kind of a spontaneous shout to a king. In fact, this is the only psalm with this title, a psalm for giving thanks. And I believe it's in the Latin description of the title. It's called the Jubilate, which is another term to mean a large, loud shout. It's like it's been described as when a king comes back from battle and has won the victory, and all of the people raise a shout to the king and to support the king and to honor the king. And, you know, the only thing I could think of in our day and age would be like if the Bills won like a 30-second toss at the end and they got it, and times 10, you know, if you could hear that crowd going wild times 10, that might come close. But this is an anointed, spontaneous shouting to the king. And so it's what this statement, verse 3, seems like it's kind of redundant and repetitive. The Lord, He is God. Well, of course the Lord is God. But the point is that there are no other gods. He is God alone. He is to be worshiped alone in this way. He is God. He made us. We are His. We are His sheep. We are not self-made people. There are not self-made people in the kingdom of God. And He is the one who created us. He is our pastor, if you will. Those of us who are in the pasture as sheep, He is the pastor over us. And so if it was not for God, we would all be dead, first spiritually and then otherwise. This is the substance of our worship. And so what is God like? Well, according to this psalm in particular, he simply states He is good, He is loving, He is faithful. How have you seen this in your own life? In fact, anyone have a word to share of how you know this to be true today? Won't necessarily take time for a testimony, but if you have a chance this week, I pray God would open a door for you to speak that into someone else's life as a word of encouragement or challenge or whatever the Lord moves you into. Say, you know, God is so good because, and fill in the line. Or I know God's loving me in this situation because, or His faithfulness endures forever and ever. And I know that because. And see where you go with that. See, our worship centers on the worship of God and His deeds. It's so important to remember because He calls us to these six imperatives. Let me reread them and remind you of them today. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that He is God. The Lord is God. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and give thanks to Him and bless His name. See, we are to make, we are to serve, we are to come, we are to know, we are to enter, we are to give ourselves. Six things, whether you are hearing it from God's word telling us what we are to do, or you're hearing it from the preacher say that we are to do. Each of these imperatives, though, are set against what God has already done. It's not what we do to get favor. It's the fact that He has already fulfilled all that He has promised. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can passionately live into these actions from God's word to us. It's not a do this and I will give you something in return. In fact, our do this is a response to what God has already done for us in Christ. This takes us back to the heart of worship, to know that and to be reminded of that time and again. He says, I've given you life by my work in Christ. Now do this. Make, serve, come, know, enter, and give. This will change the way that we see every command of Scripture, taking them from being burdens to blessings in all of our lives. And so number three today, in light of the phrase, serve the Lord, the psalmist shares many, many ways that you and I can worship God. First of all, joyfully shouting about his victory. We already have, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. And then to hear that wonderful version of Majesty done by Donna on the prelude. What a perfect song to think of, worshiping Majesty. Worship his Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory and honor and praise. By simply being glad when you come into his presence. Are you glad when you come into his presence, whether it's here among the body of Christ or out wherever you work or live or serve in other ways? By knowing God and being intentional to spend time getting to know him better. By this phrase, serve the Lord, reminds us that worshiping and serving Christ happens when we come together and praise him here, but also in all of life for the one who walks with him and talks with him daily. There are acts of worship that you are experiencing daily. We can show our worship in our love for one another. We can show our worship by the way we serve one another. We can show our worship by the way we reach out to neighbors in our community. We can show our worship by the way we treat fellow students in school, if you are a student or a teacher. We can show our worship by the way that we treat others in youth group whenever you reach out to the one that may not be connected real well or popular or making an excuse not to be a part of that group. It's an act of worship to reach out to that one. We can show our worship in feeding the hungry the way that we do at our home with our 3 flat children. And I call them that because we have their pictures on our refrigerator. There are 2 of them in Africa and 1 of them in Central America. We can show our worship in welcoming strangers, clothing the naked, caring for the sick, visiting prisoners, sharing your faith at work is an act of worship. Our worship should extend beyond this hour when we gather with his people on Sunday morning. But that's what comes to mind first when we think of worship, is what we do here on the hour on Sunday morning. It extends to all of life for the one in Christ. See, he cares that we do that. Our thankful acts of worship matter much to the one who made us to be worshipers. Maybe even they matter more so as we live them out before others beyond this time on Sunday morning. Because church, if it's not real here, it won't make a difference out there. But if it is real here, if it's something that causes joy and gladness and thankfulness and a heartfelt response in this place, it will transform your world and those that you serve out there wherever you find yourself. And so what? So what? Well, if we remember this, every command of God to us will be a joyful word of life, not a condemnation in any sense of the word. And so in light of this, our worship must always center on the person and the deeds of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And nothing else. See, God cares how we worship joyfully, gladly, willingly, with thanksgiving, as we focus on him, his gospel, and worship in all areas of our lives. And so as we get to experience that here on Sunday morning, when you leave here, we don't check it at the door. In fact, other worship experiences will begin once we leave this building and go to wherever it is that we take ourselves for lunch, for family time, for interaction at work this week, and which raises the question. But first of all, let me say thank you for committing to that act this morning here as the body of Christ. Thank you for being here to engage in worship. The question that we go with today is, what will your act of worship look like this week as you leave this place? Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence. Know that the Lord, he is God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and give him thanks. See, know that it matters to God, no matter what others may say or do. Give thanks, be glad, serve the Lord passionately, no matter what you put your hand to this week. It can be an act of worship. God wants glad worship, focus on him, and worship in all of life, not just today. Let's close with another act of worship. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. And so, Lord, we adore you in this place. We lift up and magnify your name in this place. We honor you as Lord of Lords and King of Kings in this place, but give us wisdom and grace to take it from this place and to be a continually worshiping people. Oh God, help us to be found joyful, serving in your name, coming into your presence, singing this week wherever we may be, on the interstate, in our offices, in our quiet, private places, in our prayer closet. Help us to be found in that posture that we know that the Lord is God. It is you who have made us. We are not a self-made people. We are the sheep of your pasture. And so we enter in with thanksgiving, and we are a thankful people. Why? Because you are good, and your steadfast love never ends, and your faithfulness will go from generation to generation to generation. And so we honor you, we praise you, we love you, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.